The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord.
In St. Matthew's gospel account, we've just heard how the Pharisees were yet again testing Jesus. This seems to be a theme that keeps coming up in the gospels. Now, they were the ones who took very great care to keep all 613 of the precepts of the Jewish law. Remember, the Ten Commandments for the Jews was just the beginning of the specific laws that they were to keep. Of course, it was the foundation of everything. But of course, the Pharisees, as seems to always be the case, they were looking to entrap Jesus with their question. And Jesus, knowing what was in their hearts, of course, also of course knowing the truth, was able to say, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." In other words, with your whole entire being, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus is actually quoting from two passages in the Torah when he gives this response. The first part of his response comes from Deuteronomy 6, and the second part of his response comes from Leviticus 19. Now, if you think of the Ten Commandments themselves, the first three commandments all have to do with loving God. And then the last seven commandments all have to do with loving our neighbor, with our relationship with our neighbor. Love is, you might say, the hinge that binds these two sections of the commandments. You could even say the hinge that binds almost literally the two tablets of the law that Moses received on Mount Sinai. Jesus' complaint with the Pharisees basically, of course, centers on the heavy burden which they are putting on their fellow Jews. And of course, knowing their hearts, he knew that to a great extent they were lacking in charity. They did not have the love of God and the love of neighbor in their hearts, in their whole being. They seemed to be doing a lot, but much of what they were doing was for appearance, certainly making themselves look good. And in some cases, and it can happen to anyone who is religious, to some extent, probably just going through the motions. And I think it's possible for Christians, and I think certainly for Catholics, to possibly get a little bit Pharisaical, because I think typically we Catholics think that, oh gosh, there's all these requirements to our faith, which say somebody who's a Protestant is really much, much simpler. We think, we're supposed to show up at Sunday Mass, but of course that's just the beginning, right? There are holy days. There's another holy day coming, and it is a holy day of obligation this year, All Saints Day, November 1st. And we should be going to confession and things like that. So it's possible for us to try to keep track of the motions that we should be going through without, in fact, love of God and love of neighbor animating all of this. But Jesus is not asking us to go through motions. He actually requires that what we do for the right thing and for the right reason. And the right reason in all things is always love. To love God and to love our neighbor does actually require a lot from us. It's not just about giving a little bit of time, going through some motions and thinking maybe subconsciously, well, I hope God is happy with me because I did actually make it to Sunday Mass. So I did what I needed to do. This, unfortunately, actually doesn't please God too much if that is the essence of our attitude. God is always interested in our hearts, which is always the starting point. And as Pope Benedict likes to frequently remind us in almost every document that he writes, all that Jesus wants from us is our hearts. He's not interested in external appearances. And of course, we can thank God that his mercy is without any limitations, which is very fortunate for probably every one of us. Remember what love Jesus is talking about and what it means. Love is always self-sacrificing. Love is always seeking the good of another, even if we don't really like the other person. Love is dying to self. Love is putting ourselves at the service of others. Love is about giving. It's not selfish. Selfishness always prevents us from focusing on the good of God and the good of those around us. And for those who are married, you have made vows to love one another at every moment of every day for the rest of your lives. To give, to pour yourself out, to build up the other one, to totally spend your entire life for the sake of that one other person, and then, of course, for the children that come from your relationship. And that is what you have vowed to Almighty God and to your spouse. Marriage is not about having your needs met. That is not part of the vow. You made a vow stating clearly that you will love this person unconditionally, whether you are loved in return or not, every day for the rest of your life. And God holds you responsible for the vow you have made. You did not make that vow to anyone else. And certainly what God asks, what God requires, is not easy, which is why God requires a vow rather than good feelings, good emotions, or anything else. And from this relationship, this marriage relationship, one begins to learn more about how deeply to love others who are around us. In other words, those beyond our immediate family, and to seek their good. But this all begins with your spouse and your children, the people whom God has entrusted to your care. And how you care for them, God holds you responsible. And he's also expecting your charity to extend beyond the immediate family, also in terms of service and self-sacrifice. But the priority is actually to love God first, putting God above everything else and above everyone else. Our ultimate goal in eternity is to spend our existence in the love of God and in the love of our neighbor. And we begin that eternity on the day of our baptism. Now, the command that we love God, who is everything, who created us, there's something ultimately mysterious in this command. And how is it that we love God? We want everything good for our family and hopefully for our neighbor. We definitely want them to respond to us, to acknowledge us, to love us in return. But what does it mean for us to love God? At the end of his spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius Loyola has a final meditation on the love of God, in which he makes two points. Ignatius' first point is that love is proved by deeds rather than words. True love fulfills its words in actions. St. Ignatius' second point is that lovers demonstrate their love by giving each other gifts, simple gifts, which can mean a great deal. There are also, of course, very high significant gifts, such as when spouses give themselves to one another in marriage. St. Ignatius' second step is to ask us to contemplate, to meditate on all the gifts that God gives to us, first in creation itself, then in his presence and activity in the world around us. And then finally, we're to apply these principles to our love for God. First, if I love God, I should show that love by deeds and not simply by fine words. And then my love for God should be demonstrated by the gifts I return to him. I was noticing in the Magnificat commentary for the beginning of this Sunday, it's something we all know, but it's this: God does not want anything from us that he has not himself first given to us. So whatever it is we're returning to God was already a gift to us in the first place. Exactly what those gifts to God are to be, each one of us must know. Each one of us must, you might say, discern what it is that it is possible for us to give back to God. And of course, the best thing that we can give to God, in fact, is our total self. And so ask yourself at this Mass, what gift specifically can I keep in mind that I want to give to God today as a manifestation of the reality of my love for God, my total love for God that's in my heart? And we pray together, Eternal Lord of all things, you have given me everything that I am. I offer myself to you and I consecrate my life to serving you in truth and charity. Amen.